Climate change impacts women in multiple ways, disproportionately, differentially. And this is something that women and girls in developing countries know more than anywhere else. Whether it is the impact of extreme weather events, of desertification, of energy sources being held farther and farther away from them.
Can you, in fact, go and give us a few illustrated examples of this?
Absolutely. So if you look at the water and sanitation issues, if you look at food security and agriculture issues, if you look at renewable energy and energy access issues, if you also are looking at the health impacts, all of these areas are directly related to how women are impacted, but also how women try to cope at high cost to themselves and their families and communities in the end. So just to give you an example of how women walk millions of miles every day in sub-Saharan Africa or in my country, India, to fetch water because water tables are going lower, or that due to desertification there has been water is further and further, you have to go for water sources to get water. That has an impact on the girls' education. Girls are made to go and fetch water, so they are denied opportunities for education. Women are denied opportunities for income-generating activities. It's the same with fuel, cooking stoves, which are emitting carbon, are also impacting their health. All of these factors which are affected by climate change then impact women, but they have to cope with it.
UN Women is here at COP21. What is UN Women's role and agenda here?
Well, this is a continuum of the efforts UN Women has made since its creation 5 years ago to make sure that the UNFCCC processes and the agreement that is going to be now arrived at should not remain gender blind, which it was at the beginning. But in the last 5 years, we have worked to make it more and more engendered, which means we have had something like 50 decisions on how to make climate action more gender sensitive. And last year, we had the Lima Program of Action on Gender Sensitive Climate Action adopted. And also every COP has an agenda item now on gender sensitive climate action.
How do women figure in the current text of the agreement?
Well, we were very distressed 2 months ago when all gender-related references that were there in the Geneva text were streamlined out. And so we worked with all our champions, who were member states, and our civil society and the whole gender constituency. And we have, happily, a strong member state gender constituency across the different regions, north, south, different continents. And we also have a very strong women's major group and gender constituency amongst civil society. So we worked with all of these champions to make sure that not only were these references brought back in, but that these were strengthened, and where they were not there, they were inserted. We therefore came to Paris with a text that has reference to gender equality and women's empowerment and women's leadership and role in the preamble. Then we have it in the purpose aspect. We have it in gender responsive adaptation. We also had a reference to gender sensitive financing, and we have a reference to gender responsive capacity building. And unfortunately, it wasn't there in technology part, but we hope to see it inserted into gender-sensitive technology. Because if you're finding technology solutions, whether it is for mitigation or adaptation, you have to have the perspectives, the needs, and the application of those technologies from the gender perspective. How women are going to use it, what do they need it for, how are they going to apply it? And in fact, the success of technology depends on being inclusive about women's voices, their choices, and their role.